You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Made it to a Friday. Come on in, stay a while. It's hour one, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Jimmy Johnson, NFL on Fox, will join us coming up in a little bit. Kevin Miles, Jake from State Farm, will join us as well. And Justin Herbert, the Chargers quarterback. Also, the great NFL insider Albert Breer will join us coming up as well. This week has provided some interesting lessons in finances. And I'm not talking about GameStop or what's happening on Wall Street. I was thinking about the world of sports. To be knowledgeable in the NFL, to be a knowledgeable NFL fan, it seems like you have to have a business degree these days. Used to be, it felt like you had to have a law degree. Now it's business, because there are all kinds of stories about quarterbacks who might be on the move. The problem with a lot of these trade rumors is the following caveat. The cap situation makes this next to impossible. Then the insiders start throwing around terms like dead cap money and June 1 designation. So good luck figuring that out. Deshaun Watson doesn't want to be a Texan. That doesn't mean that his contract will allow him to be traded. I don't know why the Packers would want to move on from Aaron Rodgers, but if they do, how would they work out the money? How about Carson Wentz in Philadelphia? Matt Ryan in Atlanta? Now, we love to have football conversations, but there's a lot more going on. And that won't stop anybody from talking about these stories. But just remember, there might be some math involved in this. Phone calls are always welcome, 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle, @DP Show. About 10 minutes ago, Paulie walked in my side of the man cave, and he goes, has anybody wondered if Trevor Lawrence doesn't work out? Because don't we assume he's going to be a Hall of Famer? He's John Elway. He's Andrew Luck. He's Trevor Lawrence. He's going to work out. Andrew Luck is not going to the Hall of Fame. What are the chances that Trevor Lawrence is not a great quarterback? And it feels like it's one of those, yeah, but Trevor Lawrence is going number one. Yeah, but Trevor Lawrence is going to be great. Yeah, but Trevor Lawrence is... And Paulie goes, I don't know. Like, what are the chances that he's not a great... What if he's just a good quarterback? Is that good enough? He looks like a franchise quarterback. Right? Hey, he got it all. Flowing hair, good looking, 6'5", run, throw, strong arm, says all the right things, great winner in college. And then I wondered, a lot of the success that we attach to these quarterbacks is predicated on who's there, what's the infrastructure there. How good is your head coach in developing a young quarterback? Who's your offensive coordinator? What's your offensive line look like? Who are your weapons here? I still maintain if Patrick Mahomes was on Jacksonville, there would be a curiosity factor where we would go, he's really entertaining. But he's not changing the fortunes of the Jaguars by himself, because you have to have pieces in place. But you see what happens when you have a head coach, very brilliant offensive-minded head coach in Kansas City. You have unbelievable weapons. You have a very good offensive line. That helps. You know, Deshaun Watson might be as talented as Patrick Mahomes. We may never find that out. But if I gave him, you know, Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill, okay. And I give him Andy Reid. I mean, they took away DeAndre Hopkins from him. And he had an unbelievable season for a team that won 4 games. But that's why you see quarterbacks who have success and you have quarterbacks who fail. And it's a very fine line with some of these quarterbacks. I don't know if Urban Meyer is going to develop Trevor Lawrence. Paulie and I also had this discussion prior to the start of the show. Adam Schefter had a tweet. And he said, fun little hypothetical question. Now, I try not to do speculation, innuendo, hypothetical. But this is hypothetical Friday.
Nice.
Yeah. Hypothetical. Usually it's pathetic Friday. It's hypothetical Friday. If you're the Texans, would you reach out to the Jags and go, how about Deshaun straight up for the number one pick? Deshaun Watson to Jacksonville. Trevor Lawrence goes to Houston. Doesn't it seem like everybody wins there? Now, the Texans may go, well, we need more for Deshaun Watson. No, you don't. You get Trevor Lawrence. You got your franchise quarterback, rookie contract. You're ready to go. Urban Meyer gets a franchise quarterback. You're ready to go under contract. Seems like a win-win, right? If I'm Jacksonville, I wouldn't do it. Because I want Trevor Lawrence's contract. I'm going to bank on Trevor Lawrence being a good quarterback. Very good quarterback. Now, there's a possibility he's not. And I know we've seen Deshaun Watson. That's not a finished product, and he's still very, very good. But I want to have that rookie contract. I have a lot of cap space, and I might be able to kind of fill in, you know, the cracks here and have a formidable team in a division that we think we could compete in. Okay. If I'm Houston and I get Trevor Lawrence, that would be great. The fan base would go, yes, let's move on. And it's not easy to take a bad situation and make it better, and they would be able to do that. But to get Deshaun Watson, Jacksonville's not ready to win yet. I would rather grow with Trevor Lawrence, not pay him 40. You know, I'm not paying my quarterback $40 million until I have to. But just hypothetical that Shefty threw out this morning, and I get it. I understand it. But there's so many other moving parts here. Where we're trying to speculate, well, did Deshaun Watson demand a trade or did he request a trade? There's a difference in that. Like when you demand a trade, then I think you're truly done someplace. I'm requesting a trade. That's different. That's polite. I'm requesting a trade. It doesn't sound like that's the feeling that he has, but he's, and also the timing of this. They hire their coach. They hire a minority coach. And Deshaun Watson decides, or it's announced that day that he wants out. The timing of it doesn't make Deshaun Watson look good. And that was another part of this that I don't know who leaked that to Shefty yesterday. And there's a couple people that could have. Did the team leak it? Did the team leak it to say to Sean, we're going to put a little pressure on you here. You got a minority coach. You wanted a minority coach. It wasn't Eric Bieniemy, but now you want to leave? So I don't know. I was curious about that yesterday. But just the timing of the announcement yesterday I thought was really, really interesting. But we'll talk to Albert Breer about this and some of these other situations. You know, I was trying to do some homework last night, talking to sources about Aaron Rodgers, and everything I kept getting back was they would be crazy to trade him. It sounds like he wanted to tweak them a little bit. One source said, I'm going to guess Aaron has there's a message in there somewhere. The question is, it's almost like you're trying to unscramble it and then go, okay, what exactly does he want? And is he saying to the team, get me some weapons here? And maybe he wants to renegotiate his contract. But the Jared Goff situation, that one it felt like was more fluid from what I was told last night. That Les Snead, the Rams GM, could have said a variety of things about Jared Goff in that situation when he said he's a Ram for now. I think Sean McVay had similar language about Jared Goff. He's a Ram for now. How many other teams paying their quarterback $30, $35, $40 million a year say he's a blank for now? Probably not many, but with Jared Goff, he's a Ram for now. I don't know how you can trade for him. And I think that the fact that there's an open competition for quarterback next year with the Rams should tell you everything you need to know there. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle @DPShow. McLovin, you got a poll question.
Wait, just to follow up, open competition with whom? Like they'll bring in a veteran or something? With
no, golf? Wolford.
Really? With John Wolford? Okay.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. PC McVay wanted to play Walford in that game. So we're just going for clicks on the poll today.
Okay, it's fine.
If you were the Jaguars, who would you rather have, the number one overall pick or Deshaun Watson?
Okay, yeah, Paulie.
You could make the case that even though Trevor Lawrence is the greatest thing since sliced bread, that if somehow the Texans said yes to a straight-up trade for the number one pick to Deshaun Watson, you're getting Deshaun Watson, who people think is worth three first-round picks, for one first-round pick. You're getting for one-third the price, even though the price is Trevor Lawrence. And if somehow, you know, there's no doubt that Deshaun Watson is at worst a top 10 quarterback in the league.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
Yeah.
You can, those sure things rarely happen. That's not ever the case with drafts, except maybe Peyton Manning. There was no doubt that Peyton Manning was going to be very good, I don't think.
No, they had doubts. He threw, 28 interceptions his rookie year. The Colts were split on Ryan Leaf or Peyton Manning. He wasn't a given. Andrew Luck was a given, and the Colts failed him. They failed him. And that's why he's, you know, playing with his daughter this morning and not worried about his football future. Yes, he...
But that's part of the problem that Deshaun Watson has right now is he's setting himself up for failure.
Yeah.
Because to live up to the hype that he's creating now and that hype that he's bringing with him of, don't worry, I'm as good as three first-rounders or four first-rounders, whatever they end up trading, dang, that's a hell of a hill to climb.
Yeah, but I think he just wants to get out. I think he'd rather face that pressure than the pressure of trying to be good in Houston. It's either way, it's like, what are you going to do with that talent around you? They won four games. That's why, and I asked my the source last night, I said, I saw Todd McShay, who works for the mothership. And he said, well, Deshaun's a slight upgrade over Sam Darnold. And so I said to my source, is he a slight upgrade? He goes, he's better than Sam. But if I'm the Jets, I don't give up on Sam Darnold right now. Because I would take Sam Darnold and I would use those draft picks and then I would see what I have here. Because Deshaun is better, but not by that much, in my opinion. You know, that Sam is a great competitor. He's very athletic. He's tough. And I don't think that they've done a very good job in surrounding him with anything there. There's been no consistency whatsoever. He doesn't have skilled position players. It's been a mess with the coach there. We could say the same thing about Deshaun and the Texans, and Deshaun had a very, very good year for a team that wasn't good at all. But from what I was told, Deshaun is an upgrade, but not worth giving up that number two pick overall. By the way, the Dan Patrick Show newsletter available daily, 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific. Sign up. Go to danpatrick.com, enter your email address in the box that slides out in the bottom right-hand corner, and you're ready to go. You'll get a recap of the day's show every single day. Also, DraftKings, download the app, use the promo code SQUAD, get a free shot at millions of dollars up for grabs. It's your first deposit, minimum $5 deposit required, eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Any other hypothetical poll questions today, Mikhail?
Well, if I read Twitter, by the way, there is maybe 10 teams that have their reporters are floating out hypothetical. Like the Bears want to get in there. I saw a Giants trade, Daniel Jones in the number something pick. Like, how many of these do we take seriously? Because my question is, how many teams will Deshaun go to? That's not necessarily a poll.
Until we know his no trade list, then, you know, we're just throwing out the hypotheticals with really very little attached to it. I don't know where he doesn't want to go. He may say, I'm not going to Jacksonville. He may say, I'm not going to the Jets. He may say, look, I want to go to, I don't know, Carolina. Does he want to go to Carolina? Atlanta?
If he doesn't want to go to Atlanta, where he's from, or Carolina, like, where would he want to go? Like, or Miami? Like, it seems like the warm weather teams all have high draft picks. So
I would assume that he would want to go to Atlanta. You get to play indoors if they keep Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley. Okay, you got something there to play with. And I thought Atlanta was not far off from being a playoff team this year, believe it or not. You know, he might look at that. I don't know if he wants to go Detroit.
Well, I was going to ask, wouldn't you put Detroit off your list if you're him? Because they're such a rebuild right now, if you're Deshaun?
If I'm Detroit, I take him off my list. because you're not ready to win now. Draft your quarterback and then give yourself a couple of years, build it up, and then see what you have. I would hate to bring in Deshaun Watson and all of a sudden Deshaun go, this isn't any better than Houston. You guys promised me, or I want to be involved in decisions here on who we're drafting. I don't know how much autonomy that he wants when he goes into these situations. That would be something I'd be a little concerned about. You know, that he wants to dictate this. How much does he want to dictate that where I go and then when I get there, what I want to do or what kind of, I want my opinion heard. I don't know that. Yeah, Paulie.
Another team that wants a veteran quarterback, the Indianapolis Colts have an indoor facility. They've got $68 million in cap room. They're third in the league in cap room right now. And that's a team that's prepared to win today.
If you start to look at the number one overall picks, quarterback, and let's say we put them in categories since 1980. So Hall of Famer, Elway, Aikman, Peyton, and Eli. Great career. Cam Newton, Andrew Luck, and I guess you can throw Matthew Stafford in there. Quarterbacks who turned out to be good players. Vinny Testaverde, Drew Bledsoe, Michael Vick, Carson Palmer, Alex Smith. I'm not going to put Jameis Winston in there. Disappointment, Jeff George, Tim Couch, David Carr, maybe Jameis, and a total bust, Jamarcus Russell. I'm going to guess there's a 25% chance here that Trevor Lawrence could turn out to be a Hall of Famer. Looking at these odds here, I'm going to, you know, maybe that's...
And if you take out people named Manning, there's two guys in the past 40 years who've gone to the Hall of Fame with that pick. So yeah. Two of them are brothers.
Now, I've seen two different headlines here. Deshaun Watson requests a trade, but then I see a headline, Deshaun Watson officially demands a trade from Houston. Now, maybe it's semantics. Demand, you're not coming back. Request sounds politer. It's a little bit more plain. I'm requesting a trade. I'm demanding no trade. If you say when you raise your hand and you're in grade school, I would request a hall pass to go to the bathroom. Not right now. I demand that I go to the bathroom. Okay, go. Like, there's a little bit of a difference here. But Deshaun Watson officially demands a trade. Or is that request? He submitted a request to be traded. when you submit a request, you don't submit a request that demands to be traded. You submit a request to be traded. We'll talk to Albert Breer about this. Plus, Ben Roethlisberger says, doesn't matter what you pay me. He wants to come back. Is this about if you don't have to pay him, do you want him back? Or do the Steelers, based off his health and his performance, want him back? Because if I'm Pittsburgh, I would probably want to move on here, no matter what I'm paying Ben Roethlisberger. But we'll talk to Albert Breer about that as well. Jimmy Johnson, NFL Fox, he'll join us coming up in an hour from now. And Kevin Miles, he plays Jake from State Farm, joins us. Justin Herbert from the Chargers stops by. It's a busy day, this Meat Friday. We'll tell you what's on the menu coming up as well. 20 after the hour, just getting started. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Go to rockauto.com, all the parts your car or truck will ever need. Rockauto.com, a family business founded by automotive engineers in 1999. Two goals in mind. First, giving people direct access to all the parts information hidden in the computers and catalogs behind the parts store counter. And second, they just want to offer reliably low prices. And when you speak to these people, you understand just why they started it. They've been in the automobile industry their entire careers. So this is what they know. They know the parts. They know where the parts are. They know what the prices should be. And also, rockauto.com has correct parts for both old and new cars. You can't just pour 10W30 oil into just about every engine you'd like, you know, from 30 years ago. Rockauto.com has specific oil, transmission fluids, antifreeze, and others. And make sure you tell them we sent you. You know, they're there 24/7, rockauto.com. You don't have to phone, drive, wait in lines. You can order, come right to your doorstep. Write Dan Patrick in the How Did You Hear About Us box. Go to rockauto.com and tell them we sent you. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. Each week, writer-comedian Amber Ruffin responds to the news of the day in a way that only she can. Catch new episodes of The Amber Ruffin Show every Friday, streaming exclusively on Peacock. We say good morning to Peacock. They carry the show all 3 hours. You can download the app, watch for free, and our nearly 400 cities around America that carry The Dan Patrick Show. Also, say hello to Chat Row as well. And we bring in Albert Breer, Monday Morning Quarterback, senior NFL reporter, the lead content strategist there. Did Deshaun Watson demand a trade or request a trade, Albert? And is there a difference?
Yeah, I don't think there's much of a difference. He wants out. He's not returning their phone calls right now. And, you know, I think the new GM, Nick Caserio, the new head coach, David Culley, are in a tough spot here because I think both those guys would, you know, for obvious reasons, like to try and mend fences. But for right now, and I don't think Deshaun Watson really wants to talk to anybody over there. And maybe that'll change over time, but that's where he's at. I think one of the things that makes this really tough for Caserio and Culley is that his issue, Deshaun Watson's issue, is with the one thing that they can't change, and that's ownership. And so I don't know how they go about fixing this. I know that there haven't been, you know, I mean, teams have called, but I know the Texans haven't been engaging people in trade talks to this point. We'll see if that changes over time. It's certainly interesting because, you know, I think you have all the quarterback movement we all sort of anticipate coming over the next couple of months. And there are, you know, different sets of negotiations that are going to be moving at very different paces.
I was also wondering the timing of all of this yesterday, that you announced that you're bringing in Culley. You got your new head coach. He's a minority. And then Schefter tweets out, whoever told him the information, that now it's official that Deshaun Watson wants out. On the day you're bringing in your coach, this news comes out. Is that just a coincidence?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I don't want to speculate on what Adam did specifically, but, you know, a lot of times in cases like this, when there is a story that's sort of lingering out there, the way the Watson thing's been lingering out there, and there's some movement related to the story, like a head coach hire would be movement related to the story, you might check back in with people and ask around again. And sometimes that's how these things come to light. So I think it was maybe a little bit more of that than, you know, anybody, you know, connected to Deshaun Watson trying to plant those things, because they've been saying, I mean, the people around Watson have been saying for a couple of weeks now, this is going to be a really difficult one for the Texans to fix. Like, and even if they bring back Tim Kelly, the offensive coordinator that Deshaun has grown to like a lot, even if they bring in a quarterbacks coach he's okay with, even if they bring in a head coach he's okay with, his issues are larger than just that with the Texans. I mean, he feels like he was lied to. And he feels like he was misled and to some degree patronized over the last couple of months. And so, you know, I think that the idea that this was just planted on the day that the Texans announced the head coach hire, I think that that's probably at least a little bit like incorrect. And I can tell you this, like the trade request didn't go in yesterday. So it's not like, you know, David Culley's named the head coach and then they turn around and ask for the trade. That's actually been in for, I think, a little over a week now.
Give me the teams that should be in play for Deshaun Watson, who can be in play for Deshaun Watson. Not one of those, you know, hypothetically, because there, it turns out that feels like there's 20 teams that could be, should be involved with Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, I mean, I think the two that I think he would most like to go to, you know, when I've asked around about this, that have come up the most are Miami and San Francisco, for different reasons. Miami's an ascending program. You know, they're going to have the ability, from a resources standpoint, to put a lot around the quarterback over the next couple of years. And so I think Miami would appeal to Deshaun for, you know, a number of different reasons. And then I think San Francisco is ready made, right? Like if they trade you to the Niners, I mean, this is a team that was in the Super Bowl a year ago, and the Niners have the 12th pick. So it's not like you're talking about a team with, you know, the 28th, the 30th, the 32nd pick. I mean, you know, both these teams are contenders, but contenders that have high picks to deal. So Miami and San Francisco are two teams that I think logically would make sense. People have mentioned the Jets. I do think that, you know, just from a business standpoint, there's, you know, some appeal there. I think from a football standpoint, it might be a little bit more difficult because they're a little further away than the Dolphins or Niners are. So those would be the three teams that I would start with. The truth is, Dan, I mean, like, I would think, you know, half the league would be interested in Deshaun Watson. And I think what you've seen over the last, you know, couple of weeks with this idea that there's going to be a lot of quarterback movement, there's a Mahomes effect going on in the NFL right now where teams are looking at it and say, okay, like, what's it going to take at that position for me to win over the next 5 to 10 years? And it used to be that you could win with maybe the 10th best quarterback, the 12th best quarterback in the league. The Ravens won a Super Bowl with Joe Flacco. The Seahawks won with Russell Wilson before he really became Russell Wilson. I think teams are looking at it now and saying, I don't know if that's possible anymore. And that's why you have teams like the Rams and the Niners and the Raiders who've invested in young quarterbacks that are looking at these sorts of things. So if Watson were to become available, I think that, you know, all the teams we've mentioned would be interested, but then there would be teams that have sitting quarterbacks that would look at it too.
What if Houston said to Jacksonville, we'll give you Deshaun Watson straight up for the number one overall pick, hypothetically?
I love the idea because, Urban Meyer has really strong background with Deshaun Watson. Like, he recruited him hard to Ohio State. And I think if Deshaun Watson, if you asked Deshaun Watson about it, like, if he hadn't gone to Clemson, he would have gone to Ohio State. So I think, you know, for Urban Meyer, there might be a little bit of an element of Deshaun Watson being the one who got away. There are reasons why it wouldn't happen, though, too. I mean, for one thing, Trevor Lawrence is, you know, a generational prospect. So, I mean, you're talking about like a generational prospect and a well-established top five quarterback. So what are your tiebreakers when you're looking between the two? One guy's 25, the other guy's 21. Well, Trevor Lawrence would be on a rookie contract. And also, if you're Jacksonville, you're sort of helping a rival in a very, like, you're very much helping a rival get out of a bad situation. So would the Texans look at that? I think they absolutely would if they were pushed to the point where they felt like they had to trade Deshaun Watson. Would the Jaguars look at it? I think that's a little bit iffier just because of those two things, the rookie contract and that dynamic, and also the fact that you'd really be helping out a division rival and giving them a great answer in what seems like an impossible situation.
You know, there's a chance that Trevor Lawrence doesn't turn out to be this generational talent. Yeah. I like, there's always this chance that it feels like we've rubber stamped that he's going to be John Elway. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no guarantees. He could turn out to be just a good quarterback, not generational here.
Well, let me give you some history though. Okay. Talking to people who've been doing this for a long time, like who are paid to evaluate this, four quarterbacks really, you know, are in that category. Right. And this is over my lifetime. And I was too young to remember Elway, but it's John Elway, Peyton Manning, Andrew Luck, and Trevor Lawrence. Look at the second quarterbacks taken in those drafts, okay? Those are the four that really, like, stick out. Like, sure thing, 100% going to be a top five quarterback coming out of college. The second quarterback taken in 83 was Todd Blackledge. The second quarterback taken in 98 was Ryan Leaf. And the second quarterback taken in 2012 was Robert Griffin. So I think that sort of, like, illustrates, like, when a guy is seen this way, generally, like, it's a pretty good bet you're going to get there. And if you look at, like, who was the second quarterback taken in their classes, it sort of illustrates, like, the difference between one and another, you know?
He's Albert Breer, the Monday Morning Quarterback senior NFL reporter lead content strategist there. I don't know what Ben Roethlisberger is doing and the Steelers, that if Ben says it doesn't matter the money, is that enough for the Steelers to take Ben back? Or how much is this based off Ben's age, his health, and his performance last year down the stretch?
I think there are a lot of factors, not the least of which that I think Ben, if he's self-aware about this and he's smart about this, he recognizes there could be options for the Steelers out there where maybe we don't have to go forward with Ben Roethlisberger this year. You know, normally a quarterback holds all the cards. It's like, okay, well, if it's not me, then who's it going to be? This year, like with some of the quarterbacks that might get moved, like Matthew Stafford could get moved. And I believe Matthew Stafford could get moved before the Super Bowl.
Before the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, you see some of the options out there.
Okay, wait a minute. You got a team in mind here, Albert.
I don't have a single team in mind, but I just can tell you this, Dan. The trade market for Matthew Stafford over the last week, and this is at Mobile at the Senior Bowl, like, I think talks have really escalated on Matthew Stafford. And I think it'd be smart of the Lions to do this now, right? Like, because before we know whether or not Deshaun Watson is going to be available, before we know whether or not Sam Darnold is going to be available, before we know whether or not the Rams are going to move off of Jared Goff, the Niners are going to move off of Jimmy Garoppolo, the Raiders are going to move off of Derek Carr, before we have any certainty on any of that, the Lions can get in front of it and say, here's a quarterback that you can have right now, and you don't need to worry about where the rest of the market goes. And so, you know, if you're talking about supply and demand, this could be an offseason where supply outweighs demand at quarterback. And so the Lions, I think, are trying to get out in front of that. They talked to different teams this week. And there are some teams, look, there are a few teams where we know they're going to be aggressive at quarterback this offseason, right? New England, Indianapolis, Carolina, Washington, all of those teams. You know, I think, though, I can't tell you which one he's going to go to, but I think the Lions are of a mind to try and get this done over the next week or so if they can, the same way the Chiefs got Alex Smith done really early in the offseason when they were offloading him to make way for Patrick Mahomes, because they feel like if we do it now, we'll get ahead of the supply-demand curve and we'll be able to maybe get a first-round pick plus something else.
What are the Rams doing?
I think the Rams – so here's the analogy on the Rams. The analogy on the Rams is where the Raiders have been and where the Niners have been, which is – we're not totally unhappy with our quarterback, but our eyes are open for an upgrade. And, you know, like, I've used this analogy, and I hope people get this, because this is like a spot I was in from a life standpoint, right? At one point, it's like being in like a month-to-month lease, like, right? So if you're in a month-to-month lease and you're looking to buy, it's a great spot to be in, right? Because you don't have pressure to get out of your lease. Like, my lease ends date X, so now I got to find my next place after that. It's like, I can kind of survey the market, and whether I want to do it this year or next year, we'll see, but I can kind of pick my spot. And that's sort of the approach I think the Raiders have taken with Derek Carr since Gruden got there. And I think the Niners are sort of getting there with Jimmy Garoppolo, and that's where I think the Rams are, you know? So I think if there's an upgrade available, like, they are going to look very hard at it. And again, I think part of this is that Mahomes effect that we're talking about, which is, can you win with the 10th or 12th or 14th quarterback in the league anymore? I think some teams, again, are looking at it and saying, I don't know if we'll ever be able to get by Kansas City if we don't have a top five, top seven quarterback. And, you know, if you're Buffalo, you feel pretty good that Josh Allen might be able to get there. If you're the Chargers, you feel pretty good that Justin Herbert might be able to get there. This is why the Texans, like, if I'm the Texans, I'm doing everything I can to keep Deshaun Watson, because it looks like you are there. Like, he may not be as good as Mahomes, but you can at least compete with Mahomes with that guy. And I think you got these teams that are sort of on that next tier down where it's like, are we ever going to be good enough with Jared Goff? Are we ever going to be good enough with Derek Carr? Are we ever going to be good enough with Jimmy Garoppolo? These are the questions that I think are being asked. And so I think the Rams are in that category with a team like the Niners, with a team like the Raiders.
Why is it that every quarterback who could be available is a great fit for the Patriots?
Well, I don't know. Like, would the quarterbacks agree with that, though?
No,
like,
I don't know, but it feels
who's this
like
guy going to be throwing? Who's this guy going to be throwing to?
But it you feels I mean? Like every article, everybody is a great fit for the Patriots, no matter who it is.
Yeah.
Deshaun Watson, great fit. Matthew Stafford, great fit. Like, it feels like everybody is a great fit, but not everybody is a great fit for the Patriots.
Yeah, do you want to go there is the question.
Yeah.
Now, I do think there's some flexibility in what they do scheme-wise. You know, Josh has shown he can coach different types of quarterbacks. Didn't work with Cam this year, but they had some success with, you know, Matt Castle way back, you know, in 2008 and in 2016 during Brady's suspension. You know, they got Jacoby Brissett going and Jimmy Garoppolo going. And so, you know, I think there is, you know, a perception that the coaching is so good there that they'll make it work with whoever. And as long as it's a good guy they're bringing in, and, you know, by all accounts, Matthew Stafford, really good guy, Deshaun Watson, really good guy, then people are going to see that player as a fit. I don't know how like attractive that situation is to a quarterback right now. I mean, we saw what happened with Cam, and part of that was Cam himself, but like, damn, like you, who are you throwing to?
I know.
You know, like, yeah. I think the Patriots are going to be very aggressive about going and fixing the problem. But the question is how far they can go in one offseason. How much better can they make what was a completely broken situation in 2020?
I didn't think there was a there with Aaron Rodgers. And then I've had, you know, people in your business as NFL insiders who say that it's the worst kept secret that Rodgers and LaFleur don't get along. And, you know, Aaron, you know, I was told Aaron loves to push buttons. He's passive aggressive. But, yep. You know, the Green Bay Packers would be crazy to let him walk. So if you were going to sum up, what do you think is happening or will happen with Aaron Rodgers?
Do I think they trade him? No. Do I think he 1,000,000% knew what he was doing when he said what he said on Sunday night? Absolutely. Yeah. This is sort of the way that Aaron operates, you know, and you know, I think it was a message to the Packers front office. I have to be operating with a sense of urgency here because I don't have very much time left, and I want you to act with the same sense of urgency. And these guys don't live in a vacuum. You know, I mean, Aaron's looking around too, and look at the other three teams, right? What did they do in the last offseason? Well, you know, the Bills went and got Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs. The Bucks, you know, they bring in Tom Brady. They've already got Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and Ronald Jones and O.J. Howard and Cam Brate. What do? They add Gronkowski. They add Shady McCoy. They add Leonard Fournette. So, and then of course, you know, you look at the Chiefs and how aggressive they've been, you know, over the last 3 years putting weapons around Patrick Mahomes. And so I think as much as anything else, my read at least is that it was a warning shot to the front office. Like, I know we've got cap issues. I know, like, that you spent a couple of years ago on defense. But time is running out, and I don't have a whole lot of time left. I'm going to be 38 years old next year. I want you to operate like the Chiefs have, like the Bills have, like the Buccaneers have. And so, you know, I don't think they trade them. But if they're not more aggressive this offseason in putting the team together, then I certainly could see a scenario where, you know, he's pretty upset by that, and who knows what happens after that.
Have a great weekend, Albert. We appreciate your time as always. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks, Dan. Have a great weekend.
That's Albert Breer, the Monday Morning Quarterback, senior NFL reporter, lead content strategist. I think he's very sharp. I always learn something when he's on, and he kind of cuts through the clutter there. Yeah, Paul.
Do we have to now play the where is Matthew Stafford going to be next week game earlier than we expected, based off Albert Breer?
Sounds like it.
I get some music ready.
Well, let me take a break. Do you want to do this next segment?
I think we have to because
it could happen as early as today.
As early as today.
It's a volatile situation.
That's my favorite. When somebody's reporting on something, it could happen as early as today.
Can't happen earlier.
It can't happen any earlier than early.
That's great.
I do think the Carolina Panthers are the interesting team for Deshaun Watson and maybe somebody else. I really, you have to look at how do we get out of our quarterback situation? How easy is it to get out of our quarterback situation? That you have to factor in because a lot of these situations go, well, they'd have to, you know, you have to take Tua or you'd have to take Sam Darnold. Carolina, a little more fluid. Take a break here. Play of the day up next here on The Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to The Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Oh, my God.
The play, play of the day.
Runner left side, got it!
I'm going to play it and play it.
This is the play of the day.
Check this out.
Oladipo steps right at James Harden like, move! And he cans the three! Victor Oladipo stepping to his right, hoisting and hitting. Timeout, Portland.
That's courtesy of the Rockets Radio Network, KBME. Rockets have won four in a row at 25 points from Victor Oladipo. Been a struggle since he became a Houston Rocket, but last night had a nice night as the Rockets pick up the win. First time he's played as many as 36 minutes without a turnover as well. Our play of the day is brought to you by the supplement I take every day is M-Drive. Powerful ingredients backed by science. It keeps you energized, stronger, leaner. Go to mdrivedan.com today. Get free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee. Don't let age beat you. Refind your prime with M-Drive. Let's play the Matthew Stafford game. Albert Breer was just on, and he thinks that there's a chance Matthew Stafford gets traded before the Super Bowl. Do we have some music for the Matthew Stafford game? Oh, that sounds like it's brand new music. I will throw this out. Gil Brandt, the legendary personnel director with the Dallas Cowboys, he used to be there, Hall of Famer, says, I think Carolina's a dark horse team to watch in any Matthew Stafford trade. Sweet spot for me is teams in the back end of the first round. Panthers are at number 8, which would give the Lions 2 top 10 picks. Teddy Bridgewater isn't the answer in Carolina. Stafford has several good years left. And, of course, he went to Georgia. I believe his wife also went to Georgia as well. All righty. Who wants to start and where Matthew Stafford ends up if he is indeed traded before the Super Bowl? McLevin, I'll start with you, the NFL voice of this program.
Well, since Albert Breer said he's being traded this week, I'm going to connect the dots.
No, he could be traded this week.
As early as today?
As early as today.
I think it was stronger than could, and I expect him.
I
think Albert said that.
Okay.
And Albert, the voice of Swampscott, Mass. I'm making that. He's from up there in New England, close to the Patriots. Mm. I think the New England Patriots trade the number 15 pick for Matthew Stafford.
Okay.
Although that doesn't sound like a Belichick move at all, does it? But anyway, I'll go with that.
Well, not having a quarterback last year makes it even more imperative to get a quarterback this year. And why not jump in early and get a guy who has a couple of years, good years left, former number one pick overall.
Yeah, but doesn't Bill Belichick, he'll trade that 15 pick for 4 third rounders, knowing him. He never trades like
and
that.
And then he'll draft 3 defensive backs from Rutgers.
And a wide receiver who doesn't make it.
Judging from Paulie's reaction, you were going down a similar line, destination for Matthew Stafford?
I thought that felt good. So I'm going to go off the board here a little bit.
All right.
With the 28th pick in the draft, the New Orleans Saints will trade that pick to get Matthew Stafford, who wants to win now, and they're built to win.
But is he as good as Taysom Hill?
Not at running the ball in a 4th-and-1 situation. New Orleans, my pick.
All right. Seton O'Connor, where is Matthew Stafford?
Well, my sources, Dan, aren't saying there's a lot of smoke around this one, but rather fog.
San Francisco?
San Francisco 49ers.
Mm.
That's saucy.
Todd Fritz.
It's time to start fresh in the Windy City. A division rival jumps in, and Chicago Bears quarterback Matthew Stafford.
I don't think they would trade with the Bears, since you would see him twice. Although it might be good for attendance when we have fans that, hey, you get a chance to see Matthew Stafford one more time. Yeah, Paulie.
If I'm Stafford, I don't accept that. I stay. I'd just be a lion. No offense.
I think the Colts sounds the obvious. I do agree with Gil Brandt that Carolina, I think Carolina's doing something here. At some point, Carolina's going to do something. I think the Colts, if they add Matthew Stafford, I'd be curious how Vegas would view the Colts if they got Matthew Stafford. Where would they be on the odds, you know, for next year? You know, you put in Matthew Stafford, Philip Rivers walks, you got a good team, add a wide receiver, you know, another playmaker in there, and then you're ready to go. I'm going to say the Colts. Let's say the Colts. Jimmy Johnson, Hall of Famer, is going to join us coming up. Justin Herbert, Chargers quarterback, stops by. He's Jake from State Farm. Kevin Miles will join us as well. Got a meat Friday. It's beef stew. It is really cold here in Connecticut. Got a fire getting ready to be lit. And we got beef stew on the Traeger right now. Your phone call is coming up as well. One more item and we close out the first hour. It's a new year. And it's a perfect time for your business to go to the next level by hiring the right people. But you have to hire the right people to hire the right people. And that means you need to hire ZipRecruiter. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/Patrick. They make it very easy. You post a job on ZipRecruiter, get sent out to over 100 top job sites with one click. Then ZipRecruiter's matching technology scans thousands of resumes and profiles to send you the most qualified people for your job. If you're really interested in a candidate, you can even invite them to apply for your job. One click, ZipRecruiter sends them an email from you that'll stand out from the competition. So effective, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. Right now, try ZipRecruiter.com/Patrick. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.